And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is a great day, despite the fact that if you love wildlife, it is not a great day. Wildlife, seabirds, all kinds of marsh life, fish, everything imperiled horribly by the oil slick in the Gulf of Mexico, the oil slick off the coast of Louisiana. The president roundly criticized, including by an editorial in the New York Times, for his tardy and ineffective and unworthy response. Why isn't this getting the same kind of traction as Katrina? I made the point in the previous hour. There's a simple reason. Americans are instinctively right to care more about the welfare and the death and the suffering of people than we are to care about the welfare and the death of suffering of seabirds and other forms of life. It may be that the oil slick is going to be a holocaust for seabirds and other forms of life. Let us hope not, but it may be. Does that mean that it deserves more attention than Katrina, which cost about 1,000 people, was it? It cost the lives of many people, but certainly not as many as the other creatures who will die in Louisiana. That's one of the issues raised by a provocative new book. It is called A Rat is a Pig, is a Dog, is a Boy, The Human Cost of the Animal Rights Movement. It is written by Wesley Smith. He is obviously very critical of the animal rights movement, and one of the leaders of the animal rights movement also joins us, in addition to Wesley Smith. That would be Gary Francione. He is the Distinguished Professor of Law and Philosophy at Rutgers University School of Law. They have engaged one another on these issues before on our radio show, and the response was so strong to their debate on basic philosophical disagreements that we've decided to continue to some extent where we left off. Gary Francione, let me ask you the first question, just as a change of pace here. Leaving aside for a moment the question of this devastating oil slick and the environmental damage and the damage to animal life that it will cause, last week there was a story about the governor of Texas, Rick Perry. You know where I'm going, don't you?
I'm not sure.
Rick Perry shot someone, and he shot someone who didn't appear to be an immediate threat to him. He was out jogging, and he was out jogging with his daughter's dog. The governor is licensed to carry a gun. He was carrying a 380, a Ruger, I believe it was, and a coyote approached. He was wary of the coyote, and he took out the gun, shot the animal. The animal went down, died, killed by the governor of Texas. Should he apologize for having brought this animal low?
Should he apologize to whom, Michael? I mean,
to the people of Texas. Is this an immoral act?
Michael, I think it's important for us to understand, because I don't want my position misrepresented. What my view is that if you have to defend yourself from humans or from non-humans, then your act of violence may be justifiable or excusable. What I'm talking about is in situations in which there is no conflict whatsoever. Tonight, when you decide what to eat, you don't have any conflict with an animal that you might eat. It's a question of whether you just are willing to inflict suffering and death on animals because you enjoy the taste of animals. So my basic argument is, you know, we can put aside, you know, we could put aside for a second those situations in which there are really conflicts between humans and non-humans. We may disagree. You and I, or Wesley and I, may disagree about how we're going to resolve those true conflicts. But one of my primary arguments is, in 99% of the cases, there's no conflict between humans and animals. It's simply humans get pleasure out of using animals, and is that pleasure enough of a justification to inflict suffering and death on them? So that's my position. As far as Rick Perry is concerned, I actually didn't hear about the story. I was in Europe, and I just got back, and actually that wasn't, at least I didn't see it covered while I was there. But my view of these situations is that if you have to defend yourself, he
was concerned because he was jogging with a dog. I don't know what breed of dog it was that belonged to his daughter, And right. coyotes are known. I mean, we had an experience here where Carmen Frisvold, an intrepid assistant, who I think helped arrange your appearance on the show, her family's dog, Reagan, unfortunately was murdered by coyotes. And so, in other words, do you think that morally, ethically, it would be enough for Rick Perry to be worried about his daughter's dog for him to shoot the coyote dead?
Well, I think that if he believed, if he reasonably believed that his non-human companion was in a danger of having deadly physical force inflicted on him or her, then his use of deadly physical force might arguably be justified.
I'm sure that Governor Perry will be glad to hear your authorization. Wesley Smith, your response.
Well, first, I'd like to criticize you, Michael. A dog cannot be murdered, and a coyote, I know you were being tongue-in-cheek, but a coyote also cannot commit murder. A coyote is not a moral being, cannot form the kind of intent to engage in a crime. I think the point you were making with Gary, and hello again, Gary.
Hi, Wesley.
Is that animal rights advocacy creates a moral equivalency between humans and animals. And let me just quote from something Gary wrote in Abolitionist Online. And one of the things I like about Gary, he doesn't play games. He's very clear and he's very candid. And this is his quote, and it's in my book. I'm very clear that the right not to be property is another way of talking about the right to to equal inherent value, the right not to be a human resource. If we were to recognize such a right initially as a moral social matter and later protected by law, we would stop bringing domesticated animals into existence. He then goes on to state that when humans and animals, wild animals, come into potential conflict with each other, the animals are to be given equal consideration with the humans. I reject that. I say that human beings have greater moral value, that we have a duty to animals, and that is the animal welfare approach, which Gary rejects, and that's the nub of the argument.
1-800-955. Hold on. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. If you want to get in on the conversation, which is sure to be spirited, as it was last time, you can do so. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Go ahead, Gary.
Wesley, let me ask you a question. Why do you even believe, what is the basis that your belief that we have a moral obligation to preserve the wealth or to respect the welfare of animals, whether or not I agree with that or not? Why do you believe? What's the basis of the moral obligation?
The basis of the moral obligation is that we are the actually only true moral known species in the known universe. We have a moral sense. We are empathetic. We are caring. We understand and try to mitigate suffering. We have obligations that can be enforced as duties and can be enforced at law like no other species. You shouldn't interrupt. One of those is to treat animals properly, but I think we have a greater duty in this regard to ourselves to protect and promote human thriving. And when there is a conflict, sometimes our duties to animals will prevail, but also at other times our duties to ourselves will prevail.
Okay,
you haven't answered my question, though, about what the basis is of the obligation, and why do you believe, when I am tonight deciding what it is I'm going to eat, why do you believe I have a conflict with an animal in making that decision? It's simply a question as to whether or not I am going to inflict suffering and death because I enjoy it. How is it any different from Michael Vick sitting around watching dogs fight? He doesn't have any conflict with those dogs. He just enjoys watching dogs fight. You enjoy eating animals. There's no conflict, Wesley.
Is anyone who eats meat comparable to Michael Vick?
Of course not. In fact, eating meat is a normal human activity. We are biologically omnivores. I think as Gary often does, to denigrate it, as he sometimes calls it an addiction, or at other times he says that it's just for pure enjoyment. It is more than that. It is good, nutritious, wholesome food as part of a human balanced diet. There is no reason to suggest that I can think of, other than to create this false moral equivalency between animals and humans, which Gary predicates on mere sentience, as giving the right not to be owned and not to be used instrumentally. There is no reason for us to give up good, healthy diets if we don't want to. Now,
okay,
people
wait,
wish
wait,
to become
hold
vegan
on,
or
hold
wish
on,
to become
Wesley,
vegetarian, more power to them, but
Wesley,
I don't think it should
Wesley,
be something that's
Wesley, a question for Gary before we go to the break. And the question, Gary,
yes.
is this. What I need to know is whether you believe it is immoral to take the life of the animal in any way, or whether your objection is to the unnecessary suffering of the animal in the process of grazing and slaughter and the treatment of the animal in slaughterhouses and in factory farms. If you're saying that the animal, it's immoral to hasten an animal's death, then that's a different thing entirely. We will get back with Gary Francione and Wesley Smith and your calls coming up.
1-800-955-1776. Michael Medved. Your daily dose of debate.
I think you are the greatest debater on radio today.
The Michael Medved Show.
21 minutes after the hour on The Michael Medved Show, joined by Wesley Smith. He is the author of the new book. It's posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com. A rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy, the human cost of the animal rights movement. And also joined by Gary L. Francione. He is a leader of the so-called animal rights movement, and he is the distinguished professor of law and philosophy at Rutgers University School of Law in Newark, New Jersey.
By the way, Michael, I don't really consider myself part of the animal rights movement. I, as I've discussed with Wesley on numerous occasions, I probably have as many disagreements with PETA as I do with Wesley. They're just different disagreements. That's
correct.
All.
You call yourself an abolitionist, and we'll get to that in a moment. But let me get back to the question that I posed right before the break, which is
yeah. –
You are suggesting that people have a moral choice to make tonight when they come home for dinner. And
I said it wasn't a conflict, right?
Correct, that they have a moral choice to make. Are they going to impose unnecessary suffering on the animal? If we did, and I know that we don't, but if we did slaughter animals with minimal suffering, if you could absolutely reduce all of the discomfort and suffering, and if the death could be sudden, instantaneous, relatively painless, would that also be immoral in your point of view if people chose to eat animals?
Sure. It would, you're still imposing harm in the sense that you're depriving a being who has an interest in life of continuing to live. I mean, it just as it would be worse if I tortured you before I killed you, it would still be imposing a harm on you if I waited until you were deeply asleep tonight, walked into your bedroom and put a bullet in your head and killed you in a painless
way.
Right,
but you see, but you understand Wesley's point, as I understand it from his book, A Rat is a Pig is a Dog is a Boy, is human life, because of our human consciousness, because of our moral sense, because of our spirituality, because everything that makes us human life is an inherent value. Animal life is not.
Well, I disagree with that, but the point is...
So every fly has a right to die a natural death? Every fly has a right to die a natural death? You don't want to hasten the demise of any fly or mosquito?
I don't kill insects, but Michael, you obviously see that there's a difference because you, as I understand it, you don't eat mammals or birds. You just eat fish. Now, I wouldn't. Well, I mean, obviously, you do that for moral reasons.
No, I do it mostly for aesthetic reasons. I mean, I prefer. I feel better. I think it's better for my health, largely, and I just prefer not to eat meat.
Okay. Well,
I don't think it's immoral for other members of my family who love eating kosher meat.
Yeah, the point I'm making is that for the past 200 years, we have recognized the idea, it's not a foreign idea or a crazy idea or indeed a radical idea, that it's wrong to impose suffering or death on animals unless we've got a good reason. And I just don't believe pleasure is a good reason. We can
put aside, Wesley Smith.
It's not just pleasure. It's good nutrition. It's wholesome food. It is. We need things like vitamin B12 that are most readily obtainable through meat products. And Gary isn't just against eating meat. He's against drinking milk. He's against eating eggs. So he's not only is he against the tree, he's against the fruit of the tree. And by the way, when we use animals, it isn't just for meat. Listen to this. Listen to how much of the steer is used after it's been slaughtered, not only for meat, but the blood of a slaughtered cow is used. This is I'm reading from Stephen Wise, who's a animal rights lawyer. For example, the blood of a slaughtered cow is used to manufacture plywood adhesive, fertilizer, fire extinguisher foam, and dyes. Her fat helps make plastic tires, crayons, cosmetics, lubricants, soaps, detergents, cough syrup, contraceptive jellies and creams, ink, shaving cream, fabric softeners, synthetic rubber, jet engine lubricants, textiles, corrosive inhibitors, and metal machine lubricants. Her collagen is found in pie crusts, yogurts, matches, banknotes, etc., etc. Every aspect of that animal is used productively to benefit humankind. And I don't think that is wrong. In fact, I think it is right. And I don't think it's anything to apologize for.
All right, let's get to our callers if we can, okay. Gary. Let's go to Sebastian in Newport Beach, California. You're on the Michael Medved Show with Gary Francione and Wesley Smith.
Hello, Sebastian.
Yes, hello, Sebastian.
Thanks for taking my call. Your two guests can do so much good by finding common ground towards reasonably diminishing, like you were saying, human-induced pain and suffering of all animals killed for food around the world, perhaps. Maybe some kind of an objective agency, i.e. the organic foods industry, which rates the amount of pain and suffering maybe the killed animals go through, and hopefully people will shift their buying habits because of that.
Sebastian, that's an excellent observation, but just let me say this to you, that because animals are chattel property, whenever we protect their interests, it costs money. And so I would still object, even if we treated animals very, very well.
No, I understand, but at least it's common ground.
But what I'm saying, though, is that you can't really, in any way, if you were really to, in any significant way, reduce pain and suffering and make slaughtering more humane than it presently is in significant ways, there'd be about 10 people on the planet who'd be able to afford to buy meat products. This is one of the big problems, which is why animal welfare is at such a low level, because protecting animal interests costs a great deal of money.
That's okay, what's your response, Wesley Smith?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. First off, the work of Temple Grandin has put almost all of the pain out of the slaughter of cattle, and I would urge you, Michael, to interview her on your show. She's done tremendous work.
I disagree.
Work.
Whoa.
Let me speak. I think that her work has been tremendous. Secondly, there is the humane meat movement, which gets a lot of press and in books and so forth. I buy range-free eggs, free-range eggs, for example, but I pay for that. I pay $2 extra a dozen. And the question should then becomes, should I be able to impose that extra cost on people who cannot afford that extra cost? And I think that's a very important and legitimate thing to consider. I do believe in labeling. I believe that people should be able to choose and decide whether or not to obtain pork that comes from a factory farmed or industrial methods or from Old McDonald's farm if they prefer, and to pay the extra price.
Okay, let's
but
go
Gary,
to...
Gary would outlaw, if he could, all meat eating, and I reject
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait, 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 wait. Don't, please, Wesley, don't... I have made it very, very clear that I do not think that that would work. That what my emphasis is on educating people on nonviolence and persuading them, effecting what I call a
revolution. Okay, when you call yourself an abolitionist,
Gary,
when you call yourself
Michael.
No, Gary, we're coming up to a break. When you call yourself a abolitionist, what is it you want to abolish?
I want to abolish all animal use.
And you say in that quote I stated at the first of the show, initially as a moral social matter and later protected by law. Yes,
Wesley, if we were to persuade a large number of people, and indeed if the prevailing cultural and social norm became against using animals for human purposes, there would obviously be some people who would not agree with that, as there are
and then you would have to lock them up, right?
Minority.
Okay. Ultimately, you're talking about locking people up if you're talking about making behavior, certain behaviors, illegal. What else does it mean? We will get back to Gary Francione of Rutgers University Law School at Newark and Wesley Smith, author of A Rat is a Pig is a Dog is a Boy, when we come back.
1-800-955-1776. Michael Medved.
This is going to be a little bit provocative.
The Michael Medved Show.
34 minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, speaking with Wesley J. Smith. He's the author of the new book, posted up at our website, A Rat is a Pig is a Dog is a Boy. He is highly critical of those who compare the moral consequences and significance of human suffering with the moral significance of animal suffering. And abolitionist Gary Francione, who takes the position that the use of and abuse of animals amounts to the same thing, and basically both should be stopped or should cease. Let's go to your calls. Gary, you'll have a chance to come right back at Neil in Chicago. You're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi, Neil.
Hello, Neil.
Hi. Yeah, hi, Gary. My name's Neil Wilson. I'm out of suburbs out of Chicago. Hey, I just had a question for you. Gary, do you actually enjoy eating meat or no meat? Or
I haven't. Actually, I used to love eating meat, Neil, and I used to love eating dairy products. I didn't really particularly care for vegetables. I love them now, and it's interesting to see how many creative things you can do with them. But, yeah, I did used to like it when I did eat it. I haven't eaten any animal products in almost 30 years now.
I guess the angle that I come from is, man was created to eat meat, and I raise my own rabbits and chickens and ducks. And,
mm-hmm.
It's just that I find a lot of people that don't, like eating meat. They think it's cruel to, we'll just say, harvest deer from the woods, or me personally, I raise rabbits, I also eat them. But instead of going to the butcher, I go directly to the source. And it's just, I find a lot of people, they find, you know, hunters and people that raise their own food is critical. Just curious.
Oh, no, Neil, let me be clear on that. I don't think that killing or eating animals is morally justifiable. The fact that we are capable of eating animals as a biological matter doesn't mean that it's morally justifiable. We're capable of doing all sorts of things physically, but that doesn't mean we're morally justified in doing them. Having said that, let me be clear. I don't think there is any difference between people who go and raise their own animals and kill them and people who go to the store and buy them. So I agree with you that I don't really see a morally significant difference there. And so you won't get any argument with me on that one. I would like to say, though, in response to something Wesley just said about his purchasing eggs, organic eggs. I don't know whether Wesley has been to the places where the eggs are produced, whether, you know, he's been to a cage-free facility or an organic facility, but in my judgment, those animals are tortured. Are they tortured slightly less than they are in a conventional battery? Well, I don't know. It's really hard to say because organic means really so very little. Cage-free means so very little. But I don't think that we should delude ourselves into believing that there's a significant welfare difference between an organic egg and a conventionally produced battery egg.
All right, let's go quickly to Scott in Cleveland. Scott, you're on the Medved Show with Wesley Smith and Gary Francione.
Yeah, hi. If indeed a rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy, then doesn't it stand to reason that since a wolf's nature is to hunt and eat a rat, that there isn't anything wrong with a boy's nature eating a cow?
Well, your name is Scott?
Yeah.
Scott, it's a question, nature, when we start talking about human nature, it's really such a very problematic concept because, on one hand, I look at human nature and I say, really, what's wonderful about being human is our ability to be compassionate, love, etc. And Wesley looks at it and says, what's really great about our human nature is our ability to exploit animals, and because we have the ability,
let Wesley speak for himself now for just a moment, Gary. Wesley, go ahead.
Oh, he attributes everything to me, and you let him, Michael. It's so unfair, but I've learned to live with this pain.
Okay. Go ahead, Wesley. Show compassion.
Gary, I never wrote that what makes us unique and special is our ability to exploit animals. In fact, I have a whole chapter on what makes human beings so important and so special. We cannot have universal human rights without what I call human exceptionalism, that is, accepting the unique and intrinsic worth of human beings. What I object to advocates like Gary is that they will take animal husbandry practices, for example, Peter Singer, who, by the way, Gary and I agree about Peter Singer. We loathe Peter Singer's ideas, his utilitarianism. And so Gary and I are on the same page on that idea.
And we don't like PETA either. Both of us are not PETA.
Okay, so we found some common ground against PETA and against Peter. We'll be right back with Gary Francione and Wesley Smith.
Great show. I listen to you every day.
The Michael Medved Show.
Forty-4 minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show. Let's see. Wesley Smith and Gary Francione agree that it's a positive step to attempt to try to reduce suffering of animals. Gary Francione says it's a minimal positive step. Wesley Smith is the author of A Rat is a Pig is a Dog is a Boy. Gary Francione is a professor of law at Rutgers University Law School in Newark. They also agree that Peter Singer, who suggests that sometimes it's appropriate to basically dispense with animals and to dispense with human beings, Peter Singer is not one of the great intellectual lights of our time, despite his $350,000 a year professorship at Princeton. Gary, he makes more than you do?
Yes, he does, actually, and I resent every cent of it.
Good. He might even make more than Wesley or me.
No question about that.
All right.
He also makes $20,000 a speech.
Well, that's something. I mean, just because he riles people up. 1-800-955-1776.
He wanted $10,000 to debate me. There was a professor who tried to set up a debate between us, and he wanted a $10,000 speaking fee to debate me. He said he would contribute it to an organization, but he wanted a $10,000 fee.
Maybe we can get him to debate you on the radio.
Well, invite him, Michael. I'd love to.
We'll try it. Let's go to Luke in Vernal, Utah. You're on the Michael Medved Show with Gary and Wesley.
Actually, Gary.
Yes.
I was wondering, I think we can both agree that death is kind of a natural thing that occurs to any form of life, be it plant or animal.
None of us is getting out alive, Luke. You're absolutely right.
Okay, good. We agree on that. So I was wondering if would you be opposed to some sort of, I forgive the analogy here, but some sort of hospice or old folks home for animals that basically we take care of them until they die of natural causes, of course, be it through cancer or just old age, and then we immediately are able to call the butcher and, you know, chop them up, and then we can all enjoy our little
meat.
That
sounds that be very unappetizing.
Well, I mean, if put it this way, you know, if that's analogous to saying, is there anything morally wrong with eating an animal that's died of natural causes or roadkill or something like that? And obviously, it presents a different moral question from bringing animals into existence, taking healthy animals, subjecting them to suffering, and then killing them simply because they taste good. So, yeah, I think that those would be different situations. I think it was Michael who said it would be unappetizing. I think it would be a somewhat peculiar thing to do. But certainly, once the animal is dead, and if the animal is dead of natural causes, the problem is that these animals are here because we're bringing them into existence so that we can exploit them. And that's where I think we have a moral nut that we have.
Okay, quick
crash.
Response, Wesley.
Yes, first off, that shows that Gary would like to do away with all domesticated animals of all kinds.
Of course, he would.
Yeah, but veganism isn't pristine either. A lot of mice and rats and snakes are killed in the mowing of the fields, and those fields are mowed with reckless disregard that these mice and rats and birds will be killed, and I don't see any animal rights activists or abolitionists marching in front of those fields. Nobody listening to this show is surviving with food without animals having died in the process, even if it is poisoning them in the silos, poisoning rats and mice. You cannot live in this world today, especially in our urbanized culture, without animals dying, even if you have a vegan diet.
Michael, can I please respond to that quickly? It takes between 6 and 12 pounds of plant protein to produce a 1 pound of flesh. If we all ate vegan food, if we all ate vegetable food, we'd actually consume fewer crops than we are bringing, than we are growing now so that we can feed them to animals. So however many rodents are being killed in the field, we would actually be killing fewer of them, Wesley. So, I mean,
we'd still be killing some. Would we be killing some?
At all, and these mice are mowed up alive in these combines.
And I'm all in favor of changing our harvesting methods. But the bottom line is, Wesley, we'd still be killing many fewer of them. And if we really cared about the issue, we could reduce that dramatically as well. Because I agree with you, there's a lot of reckless harvesting that doesn't need to be done. I agree with you on that.
Let's go quickly to Jared in Staten Island, New York. You're on the Michael Medved Show with Wesley Smith and Gary Francione.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This question is for Gary. Gary, I heard you say earlier that your main focus was to educate the people. So
yes.
My question is, why not just educate them and allow them to make their own decision with whatever it is they want to do? Why try to ban it?
Jared. That's exactly what I'm trying to do, my friend. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to reach out to guys like you, Jared, and say, Jared, look, you know, there's no need for you to eat animal products. It's only a matter of taste. You're supporting the suffering and death of 56 billion animals a year, not including
Gary, stop for just a moment here. You did acknowledge before that ultimately, when there is a change of opinion, when a majority of people come to reject the eating of meat, you would be in favor of legislation banning it, making it unacceptable in legal terms. You said that.
When the but Michael, that would only be feasible when there was an overwhelming number of people who opposed the practice.
Okay, listen carefully. This reminds me very much of a conversation that I had a long time ago with a guy named Ibrahim Hooper, who represents the Council on American Islamic Relations. And I was trying to pin him. Did he think that we should have Sharia law in the United States? Should we be replace our Constitution with Sharia law? And he said, that's only a minority who wants Sharia law right now. I said, yeah, but what if we did have a majority? He said, well, if we were fortunate enough to have a majority of people, then yes, of course, we should impose Sharia law. So what you're saying is that you do not believe that people have an inherent right to eat as they please.
I do not think we can justify killing animals for food. I absolutely do. Or for clothing. Or for entertainment.
My answer to you is, if you view animal life and how brutal and crude and horrible it sometimes is in the purest nature without human interference, why is it somehow a more degrading death for an animal to die in the full bloom of health, to give up its life for the sake of feeding some human being who's going to compose a great symphony or love a child or build a company or somehow do good in the world? Why is that such a horrible fate for an animal as opposed to just dying of starvation in the wilderness? We'll be right back.
The Michael Medved Show.
I'm just shocked.
Time always goes quickly with two highly articulate advocates like Wesley Smith, author of A Rat is a Pig is a Dog is a Boy, The Human Cost of the Animal Rights Movement, and prominent abolitionist. He wants to abolish all human use of animals. Gary Francione, he's a professor of law at Rutgers University Law School. Let's go quickly to Joe in Houston. Joe, you're on the Medved Show with Gary and Wesley.
How you doing, gentlemen? I have a kind of a crazy question, and I'm not sure how relevant this is, but I don't remember the names of the individuals, but if a mosquito lands on your arm and bites you, do you kill the mosquito? If there's ants in your yard, are you using insecticide to get rid of the ants? If there's a roach crawling in your house, do you step on it, or you take him outside and set him free? I'm wondering how far this animal rights thing is going to go.
Gary Francione?
Well, I believe very, very strongly, Joe, in nonviolence, so I don't kill insects in my house. And if there's a mosquito on my arm, I shoo the mosquito away without killing the mosquito.
Okay, wait. Wesley, how about you?
I will take spiders and release them, but I will kill mosquitoes. And Joe had a false premise. We're not gentlemen, we're lawyers.
All right, quickly, Ken, Linwood, Washington, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Wesley and Gary.
Yeah, hi, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I just got a quick question for the big hippie dippy loving humanist Wesley there, actually, and if he's such a proponent for forgiveness and altruism, would he afford that same forgiveness to altruism to heinous people like Rios Montt or Osama bin Laden?
Well, I don't recall talking about forgiveness in that sense, and those are different issues. I certainly think that Osama bin Laden is deserving of the rule of law if he is ever caught, and I don't think an animal is. In fact, one of the great agenda items in animal rights advocacy is allowing animals to sue their owners, and I assume that Gary is in favor of such a thing.
Gary?
No, of course not. I think that's ridiculous. I mean, as I said in my book, Introduction to Animal Rights, Wesley, the issue is not whether the cow should be able to sue the farmer for cruel treatment. The really interesting question is why do we have the cow here in the first place? We don't need to be killing and eating animals for optimal nutrition. Indeed, even mainstream healthcare people are telling us that animal products are killing us.
Well, let me nail this down because it's important. You oppose the concept of animals standing to sue, which is supported by people like Cass Sunstein, the Obama regulations are.
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, as I've discussed many, many times, the issue is not, or the solution is not, to formalize the conflict within the legal system. The issue is to deal with this as a moral matter, not as a legal matter, and to ask ourselves, why do we think it is morally justified?
We have addressed that question, tried to address it as both a legal and a moral matter with Gary Francione of Rutgers University Law School at Newark and Wesley Smith, author of A Rat Is a Pig, Is a Dog, Is a Boy, ferocious advocates in this greatest nation on God's green earth.